a special book today, one about paper, on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Keith Bonstetter makes a different kind of book. He'll tell us how and why on Scribble. This is different from every other kind of book we've talked about on this program.
It is, but it's probably one topic that every single grade school kid in the United States is familiar with. What kid has not made a snowflake?
Well, I'm trying to think if I ever made a snowflake.
You did.
If you went
to an American school, you made a snowflake.
Keith, what prompted this?
Well, my first book came about because I was at a class at the German-American Heritage Center, and one of my students afterwards said, Lois Case is her name, came up to me and said, you know what, you need to write a book. And I said, I told her, I've been thinking about doing this, and it's in the works. But she goes, well, I am willing to put forth the money to help you to publish the book. You just need to get it completed. So I then started designing and making my first book, and that book sold so well and was sold at all the stores and the Von Maurer stores last year. And so I also decided to make a second book. So the first book is A Snowflake for Every Season, and my second book is Another Snowflake for Every Season, because all the designs represent a month of the year. And So this one just came out, and the Von Maurer stores have picked it up, but they will only be selling it in the Quad Cities South Park Mall and North Park Mall.
Mm-hmm. Is this a book that's to be taken apart and cut up?
You don't take it apart. You simply find the page you want. You photocopy that page, and you fold it and like a snowflake, and you take a scissors and cut out all the gray areas, and you have a beautiful snowflake that represents that month that you're doing.
This is like a spiral tablet in a way, so it's easy to do this.
Right. It's easy to photocopy because you just flip to the page you want. There's nothing there to keep it from photocopying incorrectly, so it's just really easy. You photocopy, you fold, and you cut.
This is amazing. I'm looking at some of the patterns you have brought along, and they are extraordinary. You can't tell me that you just fold paper, make a few cuts, and you get this.
When I'm designing it, I kind of think of the month or what I want to represent, and I start sketching a little bit. The December design, for example, in the center I have a poinsettia look to it, and then I have two ornaments, and in the ornaments is a Christmas tree and a holly with a berry on it, and then around that I put a candy cane. So when you unfold it, all of those images come to life.
That is amazing. It's true that when you fold paper and make some cuts and open it, it is astounding what can result. But to plan it this carefully, that takes a little time, doesn't it?
It does take a little time, and what takes more time is taking my design and transferring it into the computer and tracing it with Adobe Illustrator, and then getting it so that it's ready to go into the books. That takes probably the most amount of time for me.
But now you have some other things here that are three-dimensional. They're not in the book, are they?
No, I do not have them in the book, but I do have some of them for sale at my Etsy store, which is Clear Visions Artwork, all one word, and you can get to those designs. And with those, if you purchase a 3D design, Once you purchase them, you get a downloadable PDF file, and then I will send a link to a video that shows you how to put the design together so that you can watch the video and after you've cut your design, put it together.
Now, why haven't you thought of something like this, Rob?
I was telling Keith, I love to make things out of paper. The two things that are fascinating to almost every grade school kid are, first of all, snowflakes, but also paper itself. You know, I was a model maker from the time I was six when I made my first airplane model. And that then they were all made out of wood. And in fact, most of them were made in wood at Moline, at Strombeck Becker down in downtown Moline. That was during the war, and then in came plastic modeling. And so I started making, because modeling with plastic, and then I discovered German paper modeling firms that you cannot make a plastic model that is anywhere near the equivalent of a paper airplane model. The paper airplane models, the Germans are crazy. I mean, and so are you. Looking at some
of the designs. I've recalled that before a little bit.
That you make. But I have a model of a German float plane that has the pedals in the cockpit and all the instruments and the lever and the steering wheel or whatever you call it. I have a model of an airliner, German airliner, Lufthansa, in which if you look inside the windows, you see all the seats are there and every seat has a folded paper pillow.
Wow.
You know, and so I'm familiar with this kind of stuff. So I'm just absolutely fascinated with paper.
What fascinates me is you have found a market for this.
Yes.
You've actually been able to produce and sell books. You have an online service. You are quite an entrepreneur, Keith.
I am, and I often go to the German-American Heritage Center to do classes for my 3D. I usually start out with a flat design, and then we go into a 3D design, and they're usually tied together. So they're kind of like this last one we did in November was squirrels, and so we did a squirrel flat design with squirrels and acorns and the oak leaf, and then we also did a 3D design that has oak leaves and acorns, and it was a 7-layer design. So all, and when you start with my designs, everything's flat. So I photocopied onto a piece of paper, we fold it into a snowflake, and every layer begins as a snowflake. So you cut it out, and I have different colors. So the squirrel one has a light tan oak leaf at the top that fits into the acorn, and then that has the way everything works is I have arrows and I have holes that those arrows are going to go into that will make the design pop up 3D. So the acorn has an arrow that goes down through two colored of leaves. So I have an orange leaf and a gold leaf. That pops the top and then those go into the bottom, which is a squirrel holding an acorn. And I have an arrow that goes into the acorn and that pops the whole design up. So you have about a 4 to 5 inch 3D design when you're finished.
Unreal.
That is amazing. And a Christmas tree, too. You can.
And I was thinking before when Don told me we were having you on here with your designs for snowflakes, I was saying, well, you know, but this is a program about writing and about telling a story. And then you bring this huge framed tribute to your grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and lo and behold,
it's a story.
There's a story there, right?
So,
I realize we can't see it, but can you take us through this?
Sure.
Story?
So, I made this.
This is about a foot by a foot or 10 inch.
Yeah, it's
by
a 12 by 12 inch, 12 by 12 design, piece. And I sell these as well. You can contact me to order a personalized design, whatever you want, for weddings, for anniversaries, for memorials of people who've passed away. I've done custom designs for almost every occasion. But this one I made especially for my grandmother for her 90th birthday. So in the middle I have a cross, and around it is a double wedding ring. She has four children, so there are four little babies there. A milking can because she milked cows. Has a hole because she had a garden, and I have peas with that. She loved to make pies, so I have a piece of pie there. Paw prints. She loved her animals, her dogs. A crochet hook because she crocheted. She taught me how to crochet. I actually have the old farmhouse in here that she that I always remember as a kid going to her house. She loved cooking, so I have a chicken and strawberries. She grew strawberries. She canned, so I have a canning jar. And we always had to use the outhouse when we went. She didn't have running water until 1975, so you can imagine. So I have an outhouse there. And people around, because she touched so many lives. She actually lived to be 103 years old. She passed away last year. And the Hoya plant, because she always had a Hoya plant growing in her living room. I actually have a piece of that Hoya plant growing in my house, and all my siblings have a piece of that plant to remember her by. So this is my grandmother in paper, and when she passed away, I got this snowflake back, and it stays in my house in a very special spot.
And you could do that for somebody who wanted you to commemorate their anniversary,
right? And
or
that's,
something.
I charge $107 framed, so it's ready to go on the wall. And my theme is, do you see what I see? And on the back, I always write all the things that are in it, and so that people can look for it. It's like looking at Where's Waldo, right? Where are all the images that you
Are you telling me that started out as a single piece of paper, which you folded and cut?
Yes. That was folded as a snowflake. And then I unfold it, and it's my grandmother's life in paper. So it tells her whole story.
I find it hard to believe. I see it, but I don't believe it. But it's all there. And you did that by folding a piece of paper and cutting.
Mm-hmm.
I should mention your book does have a couple of pages of writing, of printing in it.
It does.
Yeah, you have to have instructions.
There are instructions, and I have videos that are linked in there. You can go to a video that shows you how to cut the January design, so you get the idea of what you need to do. And I also have a video that shows you how to fold the paper. So you just go to the YouTube site and watch the video so that you can see what you need to do. The second book was also dedicated to my grandmother, she's a dedication, and I did a special wren and wren house because she loved her little wrens that are always around the house. So each book has 13 designs rather than 12.
My goodness. You know, you teach, don't you?
Yes, I am a Spanish teacher at Bettendorf High School.
My goodness, Keith, you have a marvelous imagination and, I must say, great manual dexterity, because just folding the paper the right way.
That is the most important part, is you can't have any hangovers. You got to make sure everything's lined up precisely.
You are all these cutouts cut out with scissors?
Yes. I have scissors, and there are some that have paper punches that, like the little holes.
But you don't use X-Acto blades?
I don't. Some people like to use X-Acto because they feel more comfortable. I feel more comfortable with scissors. So
there's something wrong with an X-Acto blade?
I'm a purist. I like scissors. So.
Well, it's hard to believe because these are cut out. You look at these, and they are cut out so precisely. And some of the little lines between the cutouts are less than a 16th of an inch.
Yes.
And the windows have window panes.
Well, those I did. Okay, and that one, because it's a house, I did use an X-Acto.
I have to confess.
Oh my gosh. I better go to the confessional now. But in my book, all the books say you do not use X-Acto knives.
But
what
kind of scissors do you use?
I call it my precious. It's a gold-handled little scissors. It's a 4-inch design. I I actually keep them on hand for my students to purchase from me, because once I talk about the precious and how wonderful they are and how they cut so well, they all want one, so then they have their own. But it's a small 4-inch scissors.
Now, paper, I know paper dulls X-Acto knives very quickly. Do these scissors need resharpening?
No, I've used one of them for 7 years and wow, never had to use it, have it resharpened, so...
That is amazing. I, as I say, I see it and I don't quite believe it. It's how you could get such exquisite detail folding paper and then cutting at it with scissors. But the detail on these things is extraordinary, just extraordinary, particularly the one you made for your grandmother. The others, well, they're pretty detailed too. But all you have to do is photocopy a page from your book, fold it precisely, cut according to directions, unfold it, and there it is.
It's right there. And if it doesn't turn out quite right, it was only about 2 cents, and you can photocopy another one and try it again until you have it to your liking. So
you would go to a class at a school and teach kids how to...
So people can either – I go to the German-American Heritage Center. I also do classes at Ridgecrest Village in Davenport. And any organization who would like me to commission me to come to their meeting or whatever and do a design, they just contact me and I would talk to them about what kind of design they would like. And I will create something and we would do that as their activity for that day. So – at a fee, of course, but...
You're available, one of those rare people who's available in the phone book.
Right, I am in the phone book, right.
B-O-N-N-S-T-E-T-T-E-R, Keith Bonstetter. Bonstetter. It's, I must say, Keith, this is a different book.
I need to ask you my snobby question.
All right, you go right ahead.
Is what you do an art... or is it a craft?
Well, for me, it's an art. For the people who cut them out, it might be considered a craft because these all come from my brain. So, and it's an art form. If you have Scherenschnitte, that's a German art form, paper cutting. You have kirigami, which is the Japanese folding and cutting. So for me, it's an art.
What's the difference?
Crafting is, I think you're doing reproducing something that somebody else has for you, a pattern.
Paint by numbers?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, because it would seem to me the design is the artful part. That, you start off with an idea, but how to make that idea replicable just by cutting a piece of folded paper, mm-hmm. That cannot be simple. Hand me that book there, will you?
There are a lot of, people who do things like basket weaving that are sort of on the uneven edge between art and craft. To me, who could care less whether it's an art or a craft? But yeah. But artists are very protective of what's an art and what isn't an art, right?
Right. And I think my customized design, that's very art. I mean, you're not,
well,
it's one of a kind.
That's right.
Design.
Well, that's another test, right, is an art or a craft, I guess.
I'm looking at the pages in this book, and it shows you how to fold the paper, and then the parts that you cut out are shaded, right?
Right, they're in gray, and in my new book, I even have numbers, so you would cut away the number 1, 2, 3, 4, until all of the gray is mm-hmm. cut away.
Including, I notice on this one, just a little bit on the tip for a number 11.
Yep.
Well, Keith, you have put together something that amazes me. I must say, I look at this and I think, there's no way I could do this.
And that's what a lot of my students who come to my classes say. But when they get finished and they unfold, their eyes open up and they're like, wow, I did this. So it's fun to see the students cutting out the designs.
Well, this is a snowflake for every season. You've got another snowflake for every season, a mm-hmm. new book that's out now. Keith Bonstetter, I must say, I'm impressed by this. And Your 3D, for people who want to do the 3D things, they pretty much have to go to the workshops, don't they?
Right. They can go to the workshops. They can contact German American Heritage Center. I have right now 4 classes scheduled with them. One more in December coming up. It's the 3D 13-layered Christmas tree. And I have one February near Mother's Day. So they're all... they already have the dates and are taking registration for those classes.
Well, thank you very much for spending the time with us. And I must say, I've got to try this. Keith Bonstetter, Snowflakes for Every Season. You know, I've known you for a while, Roald, and I keep learning new things about you. I didn't know about your paper airplanes.
Oh yeah, I've been making those since. I still have a picture of me at the age of 6 holding my first airplane.
Yeah, but paper airplanes. I mean,
well, it sounds unreal, but apparently. You know, if you live in Germany, it's well known. I mean, that is an art over there. Oh. There are 2 firms, especially Wilhelmshaven is the big one probably, that have been making paper models for 200 years of castles, of ships, of churches, of airplanes, and there is something about paper that, I mean, underneath. Anything you can do to plastic, there's still plastic, and it looks like plastic. You can't make it not look like plastic. And wood modeling you can get down to pretty precise. But still, you cut out a piece of paper and you fold it around. I know I can't make you visualize. I'm going to have to bring one in and show you.
Yeah, that's
just what a paper model looks like.
But if you want to... get in touch with Keith Bonstetter about this project. He's on the internet at clearvisionssnowflakes@gmail.com. And then his store on the internet is, use capital letters here, Clear Vision Artworks, space, Etsy, ETSY, space, store. He's in the phone book, Keith Bonstetter, Bonstetter. His number is area 563-322-2117. And his cutout books are at Von Maur's, North and South Park. That's, you know, you say, children will be fascinated. I'm a fascinated.
Well, he apparently will put your whole life story into... A huge snowflake, and you know, as he did for his grandparents, it's just absolutely amazing. Yeah. And what a good present that would make, right?
Yeah, absolutely unique. Here's a book that is not unique because Michael Lewis has written a number of books that are just extraordinary. He has a way of taking a fairly complicated subject and making it simple. You probably have read or seen the motion picture The Big Short, or Moneyball, or The Blind Side. He just takes something and makes it human and comprehensible. His latest book is The Fifth Risk, the risk that we experience in government right now as the bureaucracy is being dismantled. It's not actively dismantled. It just isn't being, jobs aren't being filled. And you think, well, good, fewer bureaucrats, the better off we are. No, it's exactly wrong. That's how government works. If you don't have the bureaucrats, everything falls apart. Congress passes laws, They set up departments to put it in effect. They make rules which are offered to the public for comment, and that's how laws become reality. And the fifth risk in his book, I'll jump right to it, is project management. Because in the changeover of administrations, all of a sudden, you know, the people in departments were waiting for their replacements to come, and they didn't show up. They didn't show up for a month, didn't show up for 2 months, and finally somebody would breeze in who knew nothing about the department.
Right.
And here, the United States Department of Agriculture is critical, not just to agriculture, right, which is a smaller portion, right, of their work, but especially to small-town America. And the people who finally showed up at the USDA included a long-haul truck driver, a clerk at AT&T, a gas company meter reader, a country club cabana attendant, a Republican National Committee intern, and the owner of a scented candle company with skills like pleasant demeanor listed on their resumes. These are the people who are supposed to be running departments? It's just astounding. And apparently, this is something we don't know much about. You know, we don't pay much attention to it. We don't hear about it. That what we
we don't see something that's not happening, right? I mean,
that's true. But it's amazing. We don't understand how government functions. There's an interesting illustration here. See if I can find it right quick. Where the a loan was coming to Minnesota, and the bank held a ceremony, and a man who was involved wound up being interviewed how proud he is to have done it on his own. The USDA person goes to introduce herself, and he says, "Who are you?" She says, "I'm the USDA person." He asks, "What are you doing here?" She says, "Well, sir, we supplied the money you are announcing." He was white as a sheet. He had no idea. But we really don't have much knowledge of how government works, because it's quiet. It just goes on and on, but it stopped going on now, and it is grinding to a halt, and sooner or later, devastating effects will be felt throughout the country. You ought to read this book. It's easy to read. Michael Lewis, one blurb in the back, says, "I would read an 800-page history of the stapler if he wrote it."
I just read the prologue while we were waiting for this program to go on, and it does make me want to read the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, with trepidation.
Yeah, it is an astounding book. And you get the thing is, he deals a lot with people who are involved, faceless bureaucrats who, it turns out, have faces and interesting lives and incredible dedication to the work that they do. And it's that dedication that makes all the difference. So if you get an opportunity, you want to read The Fifth Risk by Michael Lewis. I promise you, you will find it an intriguing read. And it's information that really everyone ought to have, because the stakes right now are pretty high. Well, with that, our numbers are getting a little low here on time. So thank you once again for joining us. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. We'll be back next week for another edition of Scribble.